Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with State Representative Kate Siegel. She's on the other end of our line. Representative, how are you?
I'm excellent. Good morning.
Thanks so much for being with us. Several questions for you. First of all, I know that you have a substantial VA office in Battle Creek. We have a veteran who works on the program, James, and just wanted to know what you thought about the cuts that have been announced and the possible closings of bases around the state and how that may affect you down in Battle Creek.
Well, it's a huge concern to me and the entire Calhoun County community. Between the military operations at the VA, Fort and the Air National Guard, Fort Custer, as well as our federal center in downtown Battle Creek, it's about 7.5% of our economic activity and jobs. Any changes to those not only hurt our community, but definitely hurt the families of those that serve in the Air National Guard and really does put the treatment of our veterans at risk here.
All right, so the folks who are the people who make the decisions, what stays open, what stays closed, they're not here. They don't know how many people it impacts, and they don't know those people personally. If you're standing before those folks, what do you do to change their minds? What do you say to them?
Well, we just frankly tell them the facts. The one thing the Battle Creek community has done is proven how efficient our base is and our federal center and the impact they make on the overall military operations. And they have the facts to prove that they are an efficient machine, that they can do the job just as well as a full-time military, but being part-time with the National Guard. And they've proven how good they are in mission after mission. In fact, we just said goodbye to a group on Friday who's going to training before they go overseas to help defend our country, and we stand behind them 110% here.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about cyber schools. We've talked to folks from both sides of that. People who support and work with the cyber schools say that they're a very good thing. They help students learn. They help students who don't work well with the way traditional students work, that it's very cost effective, and that, in fact, from their perspective, it allows more time for teachers to work with students one-on-one. But when you talk to some school officials, and when you talk to unions and some teachers themselves, they think that there's too many of them, that it's not effective. They'll take money away from our school districts, and so they're against it. What's your take?
Well, the first thing we should have done is waited for the results of a study that taxpayers are funding in Michigan to look at the effectiveness of charter schools. It was a two-year study. It's not even out yet, and here we are increasing a cap on an experiment. Other states, including Iowa and Colorado, have been looking at the cyber schools. Colorado has found that the dropout rate has increased, that there is for-profit operations that are taking money out of the public schools and even out of the state, and that we are putting our kids' future at risk. If you want to talk cyber schools, we have an online learning component now that every high schooler is supposed to go through before they graduate, and let's put the facts in front of us. Let's wait for that study to come out and see how we can best help our students. The way this bill passed, we could put a kindergartner in front of a computer and call that an education.
Well, if you study the way cyber schools work, that isn't exactly how it is, just turning on the computer and putting someone in front of it. Do you think we're not giving it a fair chance?
Well, I want to see the study to see how it works. There is no accountability in there. There's not proctored exams. I'm hearing from libraries in my community that they have kids coming in to take their tests there, and they're asking them, hey, will you sign this so I took this test? Well, they don't have the resources to make sure the child is taking the test correctly and getting the help that they need. So there are some problems in the system. There needs to be some more accountability.
When we also talk about cyber schools, what we fail to bring up, or at least what opponents fail to bring up, is the successes.
Well, I haven't seen any. I mean, I've seen them work when they are in a school setting, when they have instruction available around a computer system, but not on their own and not when they're not accountable to who's taking the courses, are they finishing the courses, and how they're finishing their classes.
So,
again, it goes back to waiting for the study that we're paying for. Why would we go and increase a cap, and there's a huge discussion about how much that quote-unquote cap is, why didn't we wait until we had the facts in front of us?
All right. I could, you know, I'm not taking a side here. We always like to ask questions from the perspective of the opposition. And when you look at many of the school districts in the state of Michigan, they have failed. The graduation rates are low. The test scores have been low historically. What has been tried hasn't worked and hasn't worked fully. So why not try something new?
Well, why don't we try actually putting our money back in public education and making sure we have the resources in the classroom? We're now asking teachers to meet higher graduation standards with students that are now in 35 and 40 people in a class. But we do know that when you have smaller class sizes, the teacher has more time to spend with those students and they will do better. Yet we're continually cutting funding for these schools. And in fact, the proposed budget cuts money for the schools that need it the most, which are having trouble meeting those guidelines, and we're giving them less money to do that.
If we go back to the first term of Governor Jennifer Granholm, before all these cuts had to start being implemented, the test scores were still low. And when you looked at the urban schools especially, they were still failing to graduate students and to educate students. So money has nothing to do with it, right?
Well, I think money does, because we still haven't looked at how much it costs to educate a student. We don't look at that. There are some other states that are trying to get to the bottom line of that. How much does it cost to educate an elementary school student versus a high school student versus an urban student and a suburban student with family participation without? And we really don't know that. And we've had problems in education for a long time because we're not concentrating on that smaller school size and getting the kids that extra help. You know, if we keep cutting those resources, you know, there used to be two or three people in my classroom growing up, and I went to a public school, but we had those extra help. And without that extra help, we're asking our schools to educate students who have a lot more issues facing them today than any of us did.
So from your perspective, if we pump more money into schools, if they get more money, that will help our students learn better and graduate.
With the accountability to that as well. There needs to be the smaller classroom sizes. There needs to be a commitment to the curriculum. And there needs to be a test that really judges our students. You know, they keep changing this NEEP test, and they keep looking at whether or not it does it or not, and I think there needs to be some improvements there as well.
You know, I find it interesting that in our conversation about this, it's been 6-7 questions, not one response has come and putting any responsibility onto the teacher.
Well, that's where the accountability comes in. It comes from both sides. You also need to have some accountability on the parents and the principals in that school. That was a big issue that came up when we talked about evaluating teachers. It all came down to evaluating from the principal. So how do you work in a system? There has to be accountability from all sides of there. And what we spend a lot of time in Lansing is talking about those really bad teachers, and yet we're ignoring the thousands of teachers in this state who do an amazing job for our kids, because we all have those experiences. We all had that great teacher that helped us. And when you talk about accountability, how do you judge a third-grade teacher on what a second-grade teacher did or did not do? And that never got flushed out in legislation on how we evaluate teachers. And, you know, we need to have those conversations. And then how do you evaluate a teacher that has 40 kids in the classroom instead of what we suggest at 2015 with studies that are showing that's the way to go? So that all needs to be discussed, and I think that needs to be part of the solution as well.
We're talking with State Representative Kate Siegel. We have a few more questions for the representative. The age requirement for benefits for public school employees has been dropped. Good, bad?
The age requirement for when they retire, or what time, what age they get their benefits?
In order for them to receive retiree health coverage.
Well, I think that makes a big difference of dropping that and having mass exoduses from schools. We've seen early outs that, you know, really take away some of our seniors, senior experience in our schools that hurt us in the long run. But it also hurts folks that are retired. You know, they're looking at changing the benefits after someone retired. That supposedly is dropped too. And I think that's important. It's like the senior pension tax. You retired at 55, you're now 64. You laid out your plan to say, this is how much money I need because I'm expecting to live this long. And all of a sudden the state says, hey, you got to pay $2,000 to $4,000 more per year for the rest of your life. And a lot of people can't do that. You know, you can't change retirement after you retire.
Representative, what's your take on the casino in Lansing? Good thing, bad thing?
You know, I am not a gambler. And when I look at the number of casinos that are going up, I do get very concerned about how many a community can support. And, you know, obviously there's a casino in Battle Creek that's providing a lot of money to our community. There's a concern there, but it also is a concern of what's the rules. Is that tribal land? Is that just another casino? And where is the expansion of gambling on that?
The House has okayed some changes to medical marijuana and clarifying that law. What's your take on that?
You know, I have dealt with a lot of law enforcement in my area. There were some changes needed, and I really have to give credit to my colleague, Representative Phil Kavanaugh, who's been working on this for quite some time, to also make sure there's assurances for users of medical marijuana to make sure that they are protected and that they have defenses that they can use if law enforcement chooses to go after them. But what that legislation really tried to do was give the tools law enforcement needs to not harass and to not waste resources on going after people that legally can grow marijuana in Michigan, even though they have to look out for those that are not doing so and federal laws.
All right.
So I thought it was a good compromise.
And finally, I just want to get your take on the free tuition plan. This has been an ongoing battle in the state and in the House, the Democrats and Republicans. What do you think about it, and who would pay for that?
Well, I think there's a lot of loopholes in our state tax law that can pay for that. We're given double subsidies to oil and gas companies, and they're making a nice enough profit without it. And I think we should be looking at paying for college tuition. We are saying that we want a highly educated workforce, that kids need to be going to college, and we need to make that more affordable for our students to do and help them have the American dream that they want as well. We need to help get college paid for.
All right, and as we let you go, Representative Siegel, what's going to be at the top of your agenda? What are we going to see news-wise coming from the Capitol?
News-wise from the Capitol, it's all going to be about budget, and we're going to be fighting to make education the priority instead of continually cutting on schools that need it the most right now.
All right. We've been talking with State Representative Kate Siegel here on the Tony Conley Morning Show. Representative, always like having you on the program. We always learn a lot. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Have a great day.